the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. We're joined today by the Honorable Austin Scott, representing Georgia's 8th Congressional District. Great to see you.
Hey, good to be here, Tony.
Member of the House Ag Committee, and things have been pretty busy over in the committee, but let's first start back home. What are you seeing around the district?
Yeah, well, you know, when farmers are buying their diesel 9,000 gallons at the time, you can imagine what it's doing to them. The ability to get fertilizer and chemicals in a timely manner has been an issue. And in my part of the world, we haven't had a whole lot of rain until this past week. So any of the dry land crops have been suffering. And I had a long-term farmer call me a couple of weeks ago and told me that for the first time in his life that he had been rationed on food for his hogs. And that's something we certainly haven't seen in the past, where our producers were told, you're going to get X amount of feed next week, and that's it. And so the conditions are very different than they have been in my lifetime for our producers. And we're going to see some farmers, I think, that have more revenue maybe than they've ever had in the history of their farm because of commodity prices where they are, that may lose more money than they ever have because of input prices. And that's one of my big concerns right now.
You mentioned the rationing, and that's really not anything that any of us know anything about firsthand because we just never dealt with it. Does it raise a warning flag maybe in other areas, maybe in just as far as personal consumption as well when it comes to food?
Yeah, so, you know, most of us in our country, we've been blessed. We're able to walk into a store and buy peanut butter and a loaf of bread. And so we think about food in this country from the standpoint of a jar of peanut butter or a loaf of bread. And we look at what it costs us today. And we're like, well, why does it cost me twice as much as it did a year or two ago? And it concerns us. But the fact of the matter is, we're fed by those producers that go out there and produce peanuts by the ton and wheat by the ton. And I'm very concerned as we look to the future when we see things coming out of the Ag Committee, for example, with solar subsidies that are encouraging people to take land out of production agriculture and put it into what is an environmental program. And then you turn around and you look at what's happening in the courts and the EPA and other areas where they're taking chemicals off of the market that we need to produce the yields that we're used to in this country to put that peanut butter and that bread on the shelf. And I'm pretty concerned about the tonnage, if you will, of the food supply as we push forward 5 and 10 years out. If you look at what's happened in the Ukraine, there's a lot of discussion right now about potential food shortages in Africa and Asia and other countries that have extremely high density and don't have the ability to produce their own food. And I think there's a lesson there for America in that we better be very careful with the things that we do to production agriculture and the land that we take out of production agriculture with environmental subsidies or solar subsidies and what it's going to do for our food supply in the future.
Some would say that we're able to produce not just for ourselves, but for a global community because of our production practices.
That's right.
And things like fertilizer.
That's right.
Are you concerned about tariffs on fertilizer? Is that something you're watching?
I am, and I think that that's going to move in our favor so that tariffs hopefully will be removed. And even if the tariffs are removed, there's not enough competition in that area. But it's not just that. I mean, it's the total cost of operating a farm and the lack of margin in the products that we produce in the commodities markets. And so we've gotten ourselves into a situation where 90% of our food supply in this country comes from 12% of the farms. And by the way, only about 1% of people farm. And so you're talking about, you know, 12% of 1%. Those are pretty large family farms. If you look at the tax policy that is being proposed by Joe Biden and the other liberal Democrats, now to their credit, there have been some conservative Democrats that have, the few that are left, have said, you know, the federal estate tax and capital gains increases on the American farm family is not in the best interest of the country. And so we've been able to push back on those tax increases they've proposed. But if the American farmer, if the American farm family is not able to efficiently transfer that land to the next generation, then it's going to move out of production agriculture. And that is not in the best interest of the American citizens.
And the idea that it will transfer to a new or beginning farmer, that's next to impossible. You just had a hearing, what, last week?
Yeah, so we can and should do more for beginning young and small farmers. I hope that we push down that in a, that path in a bipartisan manner. It's going to require a lot of work. And the fact of the matter is, you're not going to start out as a beginning farmer or a small farmer growing what it takes to feed America. And so we have to do what we're going to do for beginning young and small farmers in conjunction with making sure that we take care of production agriculture and those who are currently producing that 90% of the food supply. So again, 12% of the farmers produce 90% of the food supply for this country. And we need to make sure that that they have the crop insurance and the other risk mitigation tools that they need so that in those bad years they can farm through the good years.
I think the final one here for you, and it's we've danced all around it, the 2023 Farm Bill. This yeah. This is where a lot of those issues could be addressed. How do you feel about the lead up to that? I guess you could say we're in the warm up circle right now.
Yeah, I'm very concerned. I'm concerned about the lack of hearings that we've had. I'm concerned about how far left Joe Biden and Secretary Vilsack are on these issues. This is an area where GT, our lead in the House on agriculture, and I do believe that we'll have the chair next year, and Senate, we're going to have to be working very closely together to make sure that we get that piece of legislation passed and signed into law that takes care of the 12% that, again, are producing the 90% of our food supply. It's not about the 12%. It's about the 90% of our food supply that comes from the 12%. And at the same time, we're going to take care of school lunches and nutrition and the environment. It can all be done in conjunction with each other. There is one thing I hope we get in the bill that I don't think the left is going to want to agree to, but as more and more things are happening in the courts, I do think that the court should have to look at the impact of taking a chemical off the market and what the end result of that is on America's food supply. And the left is beating us in the courts, and the courts need to have to look at the facts with regard to what those decisions are going to do to our food supply.
So good to see you. Thanks for your time. I know it's busy here, but hopefully we'll get an opportunity to sit down again soon.
We're going to have plenty of time. Thank you.
Again, it's the Honorable Austin Scott joining us on today's Agribusiness Report.